Grab your cocktail shaker, kick back, and get ready for the big fat party. Greg and his band of unintelligibles are back, mixing, drinking, reviewing, and discussing Bloody Marys and all that goes with them. My Big Fat Bloody Mary podcast, where you'll never drink alone.
Welcome to episode 9 of my Big Fat Bloody Mary podcast. Why drink alone when you can drink with us? From Wisconsin's sunny West Coast, this is my Big Fat Bloody Mary podcast. Who are we? Well, I'm Greg. I'll be your host. And joining me today
is Lynn, the talent, I'm told.
Often.
Erica Black.
Brad.
Yes.
And Brad, and we have a very special guest today joining us.
Erica, Lynn, and so, and you other guys, it's so nice to be here. It really is. I'm so happy you asked me to be here.
Well, we are honored to have you along.
Bill.
Bill? William Jefferson.
Bill will work just fine.
Okay. Mr. Clinton?
Other one. No, that's too formal. Bill's great.
I bet.
Then you can call me anything, actually.
Lynn has that effect. Well, hey, where can people find us if they want to find out more? We're on Facebook at My Big Fat Bloody Mary Podcast. Find us on the web, mybigfatbloodymary.com. Hit us up on Twitter at MyBigFatBloodyMary. We're also on Instagram at BigFatBloodyMary and on Snapchat, Big Papa, BigPapah. Well, last week we reviewed Bruce Julian Bloody Mary mix. You guys remember that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's some good.
God, that was a week ago?
It seems like two.
Seems like two?
It does, yeah.
And
that was
we finished
man.
That one off. We had a few more Bloody Marys that day.
Yeah, we kind of.
We normally just leave here right away and go to church.
Right. Normally we would, of course.
I thought this was church.
Oh, this is right.
It's my church.
That's what I would tell my little kids if I had any. Going to church now.
Well, we had a contest, as you guys recall. Bruce Julian was generous enough to give away a bartender's Bloody Mary kit, right? And we're going to announce the winner. We had quite a few entries for that. I think three. And we're going to announce.
I was one of them.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it.
The numbers are going up slowly.
Yeah, we'll announce that winner here in just a little bit. Of course, last week Lynn sang Bloody Mary Morning.
And boy, do I need one this morning.
Amen, sister. That's why we're here. And we added a new segment, which was enormously popular, obscure profanity. So we're going to bring you some more in the interest of educating our listeners. We've got some exotic, obscure.
It was very exotic
profanity.
And very profane.
Nine episodes, and look how we've evolved. Now we're into obscure profanity.
Right?
I know, Brad, you missed that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, we've gotten some great ideas for future episodes, and one of them, we have a bottle of grain alcohol here brought over, 190 proof, and so we're thinking that we might just do an episode where we drink grain alcohol the whole time and just see what happens.
With Everclear? With a Bloody Mary or just straight?
Everclear sessions.
Have the ambulance on call.
Yeah.
We also have absinthe. We can do both.
Holy cow.
That's a bottle I get.
The Green Fairy sessions. Yeah. Wow. Well, we also talked about vodka quality. That was pretty interesting. We compared a top shelf vodka with some cheap swill. We blindfolded Erica, spun her around, hit her with a stick a little bit, and then she...
And I threw up everywhere. And
tasted them. Nuts. Yeah. But
now she's drinking the cheap stuff.
So go back and listen to episode 8 if you want to hear what we thought the difference was between the cheap stuff and the good stuff. So today what we're going to do, I'm excited about this. Linky Murray, anyone who watches the Food Network probably very well knows who Linky is. She's she's easy on the eyes. That's true.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Easy on the eyes.
Not a bad cook either, as it turns out. Yeah, come to find out. So she she's active there, and she's a traveling chef. Just her credentials are overwhelming. I'll go over them all in just a little bit. But I'm going to interview her And then we'll announce the prize winner from last week. And we've got a new contest this week. We're going to review ADK Bloody Mary Tonic. And I talked with Christine, and we'll share that too. And the money shot, Lynn will, of course, sing. And
we're going to get this done in under an hour.
Yeah, we're really going to have to power through here, aren't we? And our special guest, Mr. Clinton, is going to answer a few listener questions.
Oh boy!
Yep. And then we're going to hit you up with the obscure profanity. So, man, we better get going here. So let's take a listen to what Linky Murray had to say. Well, I'm talking with Linky Murray, a traveling chef, beauty queen, award-winning baker, grill master, food judge, lifestyle expert, TV personality, from the Food Network's Next Food Network star. She's prolific, to be sure. She originally was born and lived for some time in South Africa. If I'm correct, is it Evander?
Evander, yeah, but Evander. We moved around a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And then moved to the United States to Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yep.
Yeah. So I follow Linky on Twitter and Instagram, and you'd be crazy not to. She's posting like really cool stuff all the time. Great looking pictures. One that really caught my eye was a Bloody Mary that she had made with some incredible garnish. And I'm inspired by how she blends foods and drink. I had a few questions for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, fire away.
So as a kid, looking at the incredible foods that you make, I'm going to guess you didn't grow up on Hamburger Helper like I did.
Not quite.
What was food like when you were a kid around the house?
Well, you know, it's funny. My mom always had us helping in the kitchen, peeling potatoes, making salad. And I remember like one of my first food memories was making a welcome home cake after my dad came back from fighting in the war in South Africa and Angola. And it was one of those things where we ate a lot of healthy things. Our sweets are not overly sweet. We do a lot of game. We do a lot of stews. We love our good old stews. We have this thing called poikikos, where you take this big black pot and you put it over an open fire. It's almost like a Dutch oven. And then you just start layering the beef and the veggies and everything. And, you know, so it's more about the experience alongside of the food. You know, you have these big things called braais where people come over. It's almost like a barbecue cookout. And you're grilling or you're putting a whole lamb on this spit and everybody's drinking and making music and, you know, just having this great food. So it was quite a culture shock when I came to the South when everything was fried.
Yeah. I'll bet. Interesting. That kind of leads me to my next question now. Moving from there to Tupelo, Mississippi, very different style of cooking. How have all these different places that you've lived shaped how you create your art, your food?
Well, you know, South Africa is a melting pot of different cultures. There's Malaysian influence, there's Portuguese influence, there's the North African influence, and then the local influence. And then, of course, we had all these settlers from Germany and French. So it was a very rounded culture, food culture. And then coming to Mississippi, everything's fried, and it's different things. I learned about catfish, learned about collard greens and all those fried okra, yummy goodnesses, and pecan pies. And then going back to New England, I've lived in Massachusetts for 5 years where everything is fresh seafood and it's oysters. So I feel like my cooking, even though my favorite cooking to do is Mediterranean, I feel like everything is a bit of everything. It's like a bit of every culture. As long as it's got a nice kick, as long as it has all of those nice flavors built in, sweet, savory, salty, you know, all of that, sour, then it's a perfect bite. And that's how I try to cook.
Yeah. I love it. And I have never tasted what you've cooked, but just looking at it, it makes my mouth water. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. The next Bloody Mary I'm going to garnish it with some ribs, I think. I did some ribs this past week, and just smelling that on the barbecue sauce, I was like, I'm going to put some barbecue sauce in my Bloody Mary next time and just garnish it with like a whole rack of ribs.
See, I told you she was okay, didn't I? I love it. That's a great idea. So what was it like? I mean, moving, what were you, like 13 when you moved from South Africa to Tupelo? Was that a
16
bad, or 16?
16,
young
yeah.
person. Was it a pretty culture young. Shock or?
A little bit, yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't speak a lot of English when we came over. My first language is Afrikaans. And so the language we picked up was Southern. I say y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't say fixin'. I'm not going to go fixin' to do something, but I do say y'all. So it's people meet me all the time. They're like, where is your accent from? I'm like, I don't know.
It's
from all over.
Right.
So yeah, yeah.
You're a melting pot under yourself, I guess, in terms of your
I guess
accent.
So. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I notice you do a lot of grilling. Is that something that is a cultural thing from how you came up, like doing a lot of grilling? It just looks like it's your go-to thing.
Yeah, I mean, grilling is very much part of my culture in South Africa. We, like I said, we have these big cookouts that we call braai, if you say it correctly in South Africa. But, you know, I used to be a wedding cake artist, and then I did Food Network Star, and I got introduced to the Big Green Egg, and I was like, I love this thing and this grilling, whole grilling experience. Because in South Africa, grilling is more for the men. And then I started toying around with different things, different cocktails, different desserts and everything on the grill. And I fell in love with it. I basically went back to my roots and I had to say, OK, what do I love to do? I love the outdoors and I love the smell of open fire. Like when you just light that fire and that charcoal starts burning off, putting a piece of meat on there. And it's so aromatic that I can't help but love it. I am in love with anything on the grill.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
What's the deal with the green egg? Is that a unique grill? Is there something different about it? I've never owned one, but you know.
Yeah, I mean it's Kamado style, and it's a ceramic grill. So basically, it insulates the heat very well, but it's charcoal, so you still get that beautiful charcoal flavor. And what I like about it is the versatility. You can smoke ribs low and slow, which I did the other day. For 4 hours, smoke it at 225, 250, and then you can just crank up the heat with the same charcoal and sear off a steak at 800 degrees. But you can also bake on it, you know, do all kinds of different things with it. I've baked pizzas on it, bread puddings. I mean, I do cocktails all the time. So yeah, it's pretty versatile. I like it.
Okay. Boy, you're walking right into my questions. This is great. So you have on your website grilled cocktails. That caught my attention. Tell us a little bit about what the hell a grilled cocktail is.
Well, so usually when you make a cocktail, you know, sometimes you use fresh ingredients. So I have, for example, I have this cocktail. It's a grilled citrus. I think I call it a tequila sunrise or something. And so instead of just using the citrus, I grill off the citrus before I use it. So it has that nice, smoky, charry feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this one specifically, I grill, I'll slice open grapefruit, lime, and oranges. And then I'll put them face down on the grill. And basically what it does is it not only gets those char marks on there, which is absolutely flavor, but it releases the juices in the fruits. So then when you squeeze that out, add a jalapeno pepper or so, maybe some chopped up fresh basil, tequila, some triple sec, and you have an amazing cocktail that's like taste and like it just got off the grill. So I like to do things like that. And like the Bloody Marys that I do, I like to either... you know, smoke my Bloody Mary mix for a little bit. Like I'll mix it up and then I'll do it very, very low, almost like to a boiling point. And then I'll remove it, chill it, infuse it with different things, maybe bacon, maybe jalapeno or whatever. And then that way it gets that smokiness off the grill. I love to do that.
I am in the presence of a master. I'm humbled.
Not at all.
That all sounds familiar. I'm glad I'm recording this. I'm going to try all of this stuff. Hopefully I won't mess it up.
Oh, no, you won't. Just add more vodka. You'll be all right.
That's a good rule of thumb. We live by it here, too. Did you have a recipe you wanted to quick share with us? Or?
Sure, yes, absolutely. So what I usually do is I garnish with a grilled prosciutto wrapped shrimp. So basically what I do is I butterfly the shrimp over or basically just devein it, and then I'll line it with a banana pepper, wrap it in prosciutto, and then maybe just a little olive oil, some salt and pepper, and then grill that off, maybe with a cherry tomato, some of those small cocktail onions, and your what do you call it, the olives. And then that basically is the garnish for your Bloody Mary. And for the Bloody Mary, I usually use, and this one is for servings of four, I use a 4 10-ounce canned tomato juice, and I usually use V8. I think the flavor's perfect. Then I add 3 tablespoons of lemon juice, 6 to 8 ounces of Grey Goose vodka. I mean, you can use any kind of vodka, Tito, Kettle One, I mean, whatever you want to do. Then I add 7 to 8 teaspoons of horseradish, 6 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce, about a 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon ground black pepper, about a pinch or so of cayenne, and then some drops of hot pepper sauce. And you can add as much as you want. I mean, I like spicy Bloody Marys. So sometimes I even drop a little bit of my rib rub in there just for some flavor. So very simple. I think what makes my Bloody Marys unique is, like I said, sometimes I infuse it with either bacon or smoke it. Yeah. And the garnish. I think oh, are you drinking one right now? Are you serious?
Oh, gosh, no. It's much too early. Okay. Yes, I am. I am drinking one right now.
Well, I have about 15 minutes before I got to start boarding. So I'm going to go find me one at the airport.
Oh, good idea. Good idea. Two more quick questions and we'll make it.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Okay. When you make a Bloody Mary, do you shake it? Do you stir it or roll it?
I stir very vigorously. And I usually stir before I add the ice. Like I'll usually make my Bloody Mary mix on the side, stir, and then I'll add it to the ice. Okay. I don't like it. It's so hard to stir with all that ice in there. So I feel like once you pour it in there, if you pour it pretty slowly onto the ice, it basically chills as it goes down into the glass. Okay. So there's no reason of shaking it. So,
sure.
Yep.
Okay. So what are you excited about right now as you look forward here to the year ahead of you? Anything on the horizons that's got you jacked?
Oh, lots of things. I mean, I never know where I'm going to be from week to week. I'm headed to Newport, Rhode Island. I'll be working on I think it's called the Beothuk yacht. I'll be the private chef on the yacht for the next 2 weeks. We're going to be island hopping, Nantucket, all over Boston, all of those places. And then I'm going to head down to Florida. There's a fishing yacht that's interested in me cooking for them. It's a big, huge, it's 150-footer. So I may be doing that for the rest of the summer and early into the fall. Maybe do some fishing, try to catch a marlin or mahi or something, and then cook it up.
It's a hard,
great people.
It's a hard knock life, isn't it?
A little bit.
Well, as I said, if they need a Bloody Mary consultant, have them call me. I'd gladly help up.
Absolutely, and I hope you send me your recipe for your Bloody Mary.
I will. I'll do that. I have a bunch of them, so we'll let you get to that Bloody Mary. That's important. How can people find you if they want to follow what you're up to?
Very, very easy. I am the only Linky Mare on all of the social medias. My website is livinglinky, LINKIE.com. Got lots of recipes on there. I'm always posting things on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So, and I'm posting recipes too. I'm actually going to, if I get to it today, I'm posting my bacon pecan pie recipe. So,
yeah, I'll look for that.
Y'all look it up. So, and thank you so much for having me. It was a great talk. Next time, hopefully it'll be in person over a Bloody Mary.
I'm in. Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Linky. It's been a blast. And safe travels.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Yeah, boy, that was great talking with Linky. She was, as you probably could hear, she was in a Nashville airport. So there was a lot going
Nashville,
on.
Oh, Nashville. That's what it was.
That's why she sounds so southern.
Yeah. So her next gig, she's going out to be a private chef on a yacht. So,
wow.
Yeah, as you heard, tough stuff, you know.
I'm hungry.
It's a tough job, but she's got to do it. So, yeah, and I was really intrigued by her grilled cocktails. I love the idea, slicing up fruit, putting them on the grill, getting a nice char, and then squeezing them into a drink.
I was so going to do that last night, and I couldn't get the grill started.
Well, hey, let's announce the prize winner from last week. This was the Bruce Julian's Bloody Mary, Bartender Bloody Mary Kit. And the winner of that prize is Julie Robbins White.
I'm really curious what this bartender kit looks like.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Yeah.
Bill, anything that you can say to our winner? Any advice that you can give her?
I think some pictures would be nice.
Surprise, surprise.
She's from Prairie du Chien.
Okay. Well, we have a new contest today, actually. We're giving away a couple of t-shirts from...
One's a tank.
A tank? That's the ladies?
Right. It's a Sturgis one.
Yeah, they're nice looking.
Yeah, they're cute.
I would wear that.
It has a skull on it.
I did put the photos on Facebook just now.
Oh, okay. So you can take a look on Lynn Miller on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So same deal. Share the podcast on Facebook. Go to iTunes. Write a review. Give us a rating. Share it on Twitter. Do any of those things. And then just hit me up. Let me know you did it. And then you'll go into the drawing. And you got a pretty good chance of winning.
I should say the t-shirts, one is a tank top, and it is size medium, and the actual t-shirt is a small.
Yes, a small.
Okay.
So they're black. Any large-bodied people, maybe.
They'd make a great gift, though, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would make a great gift.
I'd cut it up, the neck off, and make it really sexy looking.
Yeah, I bet you would.
They're not bad.
Understand that our tentacles are reaching across the country with this podcast. And I hear that Madison, Wisconsin, we have quite the following, so we could encourage people in Madison to be reviewing us. They could take the time to do that.
Would it
the home state?
Would it kill them? I mean, they're
we
fellow,
can ship these places.
Fellow Scotty.
They could do something to help us out. So please write a review.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, that's.
Just say you love us. You don't have to. Right, length.
Yeah, way. Exactly.
No.
And if you don't like it,
four
just
words.
Keep it yourself.
Right. Shut your damn mouth. Well, okay, boy, there goes our G rating. So let's get on to ADK, Bloody Mary Tonic. So I caught up with Christine and asked her a few questions about the mix. So let's take a listen to what Christine had to say.
That. Now, on to this.
Well, I'm talking with Christine Marquis of ADK Bloody Mary Tonic, and we're going to ask her a few questions about her mix before we tear into it and give it a taste. Thanks for joining us, Christine.
Hi, how you doing, Greg?
Pretty good, pretty good. I've just got one Bloody Mary under my belt, so, you know, my attitude is starting to get a little better. Yep, it always is. So where are you guys located at? Where do you do business from?
I originated my business in Tupper Lake, New York, in the Adirondack Mountains. I've been managing bars for the last 20 years, so I have been making a lot of Bloody Marys at my current location. It's a biker bar, sort of, in the summer. I mean, we have all sorts of tourists come in, but... my boss, he owns a few motorcycles, so all the bikers come in and they know about the Bloody Marys. So, due to a few online publications and some books that came out from friends of mine, people started coming from states away to have the Bloody Marys. So, in order to have it the same all the time, we just started to make it in large batches. First started canning the mix, and then eventually went to Cornell University and gathered a couple recipes, and now I have a manufacturer out of New Haven, Connecticut, who makes it for me.
Ah, so it came up slowly and kind of organically through making them at your bar, and it's funny that I hear a lot of companies starting that way. You know, you get onto a good thing, and the word starts to spread, and it grows from there. I think that's a good way to start.
Exactly, and with social media, I know where I live, we're sort of remote here, so... with the internet and technology and everything, it really gives us the opportunity to create a business for ourselves rather than rely on somebody, say, in a larger city to do that for us. So basically, the whole business was created from the phone in the palm of my hand and downtime that I had at work, and created a Facebook page and created some excitement, and I let all of my customers decide what the best label be and what flavor they like the most. I originally came out with three flavors. I had original, extra hot, and I did a sriracha version, which Mr. Hot and the Sriracha were neck and neck, so I decided to go with the regular and extra hot to start, and then we'll probably add the third flavor down the line here. We've been in production for 2 years now, I would say.
So you're getting to know your way around it anyway?
Yes. It's a very interesting business. I find that people really enjoy meeting the maker in person of their product that they're enjoying, so keeping my job at the bar that I manage is very important to my business. People come in, they hear about the Bloody Mary tonic, they'd love to give it a try, they always end up leaving with a jar.
You do sell online though too, don't they, if people go to your website?
Yes, we do sell online. We sell online by the case, and there's also a few other businesses out of Lake Placid, New York, that they're gift companies, so they do gift baskets and things like that. So if somebody wanted to order just a jar or two jars, you can also contact those companies and order it like that. They didn't want to order a whole case.
Sure. Okay. What's the website address, Christine?
ADKBloodyMaryTonic.com.
Okay.
It's our website where you can order the product.
Yeah.
And we also have a Facebook page, ADK Bloody Mary Tonic.
Okay.
You seem to get a lot of traffic on there. Everybody seems to be on Facebook these days.
I know I am. That's how I found you.
Yes, exactly. I think I found you the same way through Shelley.
Yeah, Shelley Buchanan, a mutual friend. Well, I'll put links to both of those, your Facebook and your page, on our show notes here after the fact, so people can find you easily. What is it you think makes your mix unique?
Well, what I've found is people either love Bloody Marys or they hate Bloody Marys, but I think a lot of it is you can get a really cheap mix in the grocery store, the coloring's sort of off, a lot of artificial coloring, and you can't really be the natural, wholesome ingredients. So my product, I use vegetable juice for a base. A lot of Bloody Marys use simply tomato juice for a base. I find the vegetable juice gives more unique flavor, a more hearty flavor, and you can also cook with it.
Ah.
And it's healthy.
Nice. I think Linky Murray also uses a vegetable juice in her Bloody Mary recipe. What a coincidence.
Oh, really? Perfect, yeah. Yes.
Do you guys, you're in upstate New York, we're in Wisconsin. I always like to ask people from other parts of the country, do you serve your Bloody Marys with a beer chaser like we do here in Wisconsin?
Sometimes we do. We call it a red eye here. I'm not sure what you guys call it in Wisconsin. We'll pour about 75% beer and top the 25% off on the top with the Bloody Mary mix.
Ah.
It's called a red eye.
Yes, I am familiar with that. The Wisconsin phenomena is a little different. We actually will have a Bloody Mary, but then on the side, we'll have a small beer to sort of clear the palate. So I'm guessing okay. you don't do that there.
No, I haven't done that yet.
Hey, thanks for sending the T-shirts to give away as prizes. That's very generous of you. Very good-looking T-shirts. I'm tempted to keep them for myself, but we're going to give them away as a contest. So thanks for sending those.
I'll send you more.
Now you're talking.
But thank you for the compliment. We had a great time designing those. There's a local business in the small town that I live in. The population here is probably only about 5,000 people where I live. So we're all small businesses, and we try to all support each other. So I stick as local as I can. If I could have found a local manufacturer, I would have done that. But it's just...
Sure.
Can't really find that anywhere around here. So.
Yeah, you're way upstate.
Yes, we're near the Canadian border. I'm about an hour and a half away from the Canadian border. So,
One more question for you, and I'll let you go. I know you're a very busy lady. What's the worst? What's the worst Bloody Mary you ever had, and why was it the worst?
The worst Bloody Mary?
Yeah.
Well, I find that. Hard with a Bloody Mary because wherever you go, you order one, and if they're making it by hand in the establishment, they always make them differently. I think the worst Bloody Mary probably would be when you go to a bar, they use tomato juice and throw a little salt and pepper and then slide it across the bar to you.
Ooh, lazy.
You know, I don't think they realize how many ingredients really do go into a Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time, Christine. And we're gonna pass this around and do a review of it and talk about our opinions and give it a rating.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. I'm very excited to hear the podcast.
Enough of the garnish. Let's get to the drink.
Okay. Well, nice hearing from Christine. I'm intrigued about this product. We are about to pour it and give it a taste. So let's start.
A little ice. Pass the vodka, please.
Excellent. So it's a nice dark red color. I would describe it as a probably thinner in consistency, although mine is predominantly vodka, so of course it's going to be a little thinner.
No, of course, pretty thin. Sam would be happy.
Sam would appreciate that.
Sam's really the consistency.
In fact, on their website, somebody talks about it's a nice smooth texture to this to this mix.
A very,
it's not too thick.
Very savory, my first impression. Yeah.
Oh, we're already into first impressions.
Yeah, we're moving right into it.
Ooh. Wow, that's different.
It is. It's got a unique flavor, and I can't put my finger on it. A little smoky flavor, maybe? Lynn,
bit.
What are your initial thoughts?
I feel like there should be some sort of cheese in here, but there isn't.
Seems a little salty.
I don't know, like I'm
seems
getting
a little,
some
seems
little...
a little salty. Tea does seem salty to you?
Well, you
I feel
know,
like I'm getting a little hint of Parmesan or something, but there isn't
it's
that.
It's got a really different taste to it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's spicy. Another. It's one of those, again, that isn't killing me with the spice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a, it's not a, a lot.
Hold on.
What?
Wisconsin.
Oh. What's going on?
What do we do
oh,
when we have a bloody in Wisconsin? One,
beer
two,
chaser.
Three. The chaser.
Something wasn't right there. I knew it.
Bill, how do they do things in D.C.?
How would he know?
Or in Little Rock?
I have no idea.
Again, he has no idea.
Yeah. Can't recall?
Come on, Bill. We want you to be shown to shine.
Right out of the still.
Shoot it right out.
In Little Rock.
Brad, what do you think? Got any initial thoughts about this mix?
You know,
ADK.
When we're doing with the research department, we have four in our research department that are employed. I was concerned about this mix with the salt and some of the ingredients, and Erica's going to go through that a little bit later, but I really do like what I'm tasting here. And also to preface, this is difficult because we're judging this. Well, we've had two or three, 4 weeks of some fabulous mixes, and some of them were not the traditional mix that we're used to.
Right.
And now sizing up against, you know, tomatillos and yellow tomatoes. This is, I'm liking what I'm tasting right now.
Yeah. How about you, Bill? Have you had a taste there? Oh, yours is empty already.
He doesn't have a taste.
Good God.
I like it. It's better than that. It's perfect in the morning.
Or in the afternoon, or in the evening.
Absolutely. I'm here, you know, dealing with international affairs. It'd be.
Yes, I'm sure you are.
Who's the fair?
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm all over.
Yeah, great. So, okay, let's get to the important stuff.
Oh, this is gonna be a tough one.
Yeah, Lynn is gonna sing a song for us.
She thought it was time to review and assign a number.
Slow down, Lynn. Take it easy.
Oh, yes.
Take it easy.
Ruby.
Enjoy your bloody over.
So what is the song, Lynn? That
Ruby, don't take your love to town.
Oh, man.
Quit talking, Greg. I came to hear Lynn sing.
You painted up your lips and rolled and curled up your tinted hair. Ruby, are you contemplating going out somewhere? Shadow on the wall tells me the sun is going down. Oh, Ruby. Don't take your love to town.
wasn't me that started that old crazy Asian war. But I was proud to go and do my patriotic chore. And yes, it's true that I'm not the man I used to be. Oh, Ruby. I still need some company. It's hard to love a man whose legs are bent and paralyzed. And the wants and needs of a woman your age, Ruby, I realize. But won't be long, I've heard them saying, till I'm not around. Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town. She's leaving now. Oh, I just heard the slamming of the door. The way I know, I've heard it slam 100 times before. And if I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground. Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town. Oh, Ruby, for God's sakes, turn around.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you, Ben.
Wasn't that something?
You knocked that
one George.
Out of the park. George Jones, yeah. Made more popular by Kenny Rogers. But,
yes, yeah, but Mel Tillis wrote it.
Do you need another drink?
We can help you in that department.
You know, I was out late. I had to leave my car downtown. Smart me.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
I kissed it goodbye. I never left my car anywhere before.
Really?
You can tell I was a little tipsy when I'm telling my car goodbye and I'm going to miss it.
Yeah. Well, it's good you didn't drive. That's
miss you.
I love driving. You know, I do. I love drinking, but
yes,
you can't do both.
Right.
You know, we have a good time here, but we don't drink and drive.
Can't do it anymore.
We stagger out of here. And
I've had trouble walking a straight line.
Right.
And the funny thing is my girlfriend is usually the one, I'm usually taking care of her, and she just loved this because I was a little tipsy, and she had to, you know, make sure I was okay, and she was just enjoying the hell out of it because I was the one that was drunk. But I went out with the intent to do that.
Yep.
Good for you, Liz.
Mission accomplished.
Yes. Thanks to John at the Charmaine.
That's why I like you.
Nicely done. Hey, we've got a few questions for our esteemed guest today.
Oh, yes.
Bill, do you have a minute for it? Would you mind feeling
that cigar down?
Absolutely far away.
This is kind of our edition of Hardball.
I love it.
So these are some questions that we got from our listeners. The first one comes from Dave on Facebook, and he asked, oh, okay, I think I know the tone of this. Do you remember that time when you were alone with Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office?
I don't recall that. Actually, I don't even think I was there. Yeah. I was not there. Actually, I am not here right now.
So, this guy is good. Lily Emma from Facebook wants to know, do you support a constitutional amendment and or an executive order that bans the combination of green jello and cabbage as a classic American dessert on the grounds that it connects us to one of the greatest culinary mistakes in history? Wow, I warned you, there are some hard-hitting questions.
That was so eloquent.
This is deep.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Absolutely. I agree entirely. That stuff is disgusting. It just needs to be wiped out. I do not care for it.
Oh, let's have an executive order.
Mm-hmm. I have never tried such a thing.
I tell you what, I'll sneak into the Oval Office and
I bet you will.
I know where the paperwork is. I'm sure I can do it.
Where's the blue dress?
Oh, that's disgusting.
Heavens, heavens. So Dan from Facebook has a question, and I don't know what this means. He wants to know what Pokemon Go team you are on.
I'm on Team Mystic. I love Ooh. That team. I absolutely mm-hmm. love it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I looked it up on the phone.
Okay. That'll work. This one comes from, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, Lynn Miller.
Oh. Hey, me.
That's from, oh, well, do you want to ask it? Or are you right
yes.
here?
Mr. Clinton, yeah. May I call you Bill?
Oh, absolutely.
Or when you and Fidel, when you and Fidel Castro sat around enjoying a cigar and sipping brandy, what are the three most important topics you discussed? And I meant impotent.
That wasn't a typo?
Impotent. Well, it's said impotent because it's important or impotent. Right. You know, you can take it any way you want, Bill.
Well, me and Fidel, we talked about, well, the proper preparation of a cigar before you smoke.
Okay.
So. That's all I'm going to say about that. We also talked about Hemingway, of course. Mm-hmm. And
Gibbon.
Yeah, and then
did you discuss opening up the
Papa
so we can get into Cuba? Was that partly due to you that this all came about now?
Well, I could always get into Cuba, so I was kind of bummed. I'm not going to lie. It's like my own country club now, you know, people from, you know,
everywhere.
Exactly. People from Waukesha showing up there.
Ooh.
You know,
Wani Walk. No, oh,
I got
shit.
Against Waukesha. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, this final question comes to us from Twitter, from Dave Wodzinski. He wants to know if you have any plans as first gentleman.
First gentleman, I'll tell you, traditionally, I think probably before Eleanor Roosevelt showed up, the first spouse would host like luncheons mm-hmm. with a bunch of ladies, and they would host fashion shows. In the
garden. I know where this is going.
I hope to bring that back.
Right.
Yeah, some luncheons, some fashion shows. I got a call on Victoria's Secret. It's going to be I'm so looking forward to it.
Perfect.
You know, Hillary, she's going to be busy. So.
Yeah. Get that million-dollar bra reveal over there. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I plan to just kind of walk around the White House in a robe and drinking Bloody Marys. So.
I like this guy.
My kind of guy.
I can picture it.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Excellent.
So, yeah, either my wife is going to be president of the United States or we're going to have the apocalypse. So,
one or the other.
Either way, I think you'll be in a bathrobe with a Bloody Mary.
Either way, absolutely.
I hope. All right. Excellent.
I'm getting the visual of the bathrobe, so. Okay.
Yep. Hopefully, not the apocalypse. Yeah. Well, cool. Those are all our questions that we had for Bill. Now we're moving into the news section that has been enormously popular, obscure profanity. This is some of the more exotic stuff. I mean, we know the seven words you can't say on television, and those have been covered pretty well. But this week, we dug a little deeper.
Deeper research, because we have four people in the department.
Yeah, we keep them busy. So, Erica, would you like to share these little tidbits?
I don't actually have to read them in Cockney this time.
Thank goodness.
Time for today's profanity.
So the first one is beer monkey.
Yeah.
A beer monkey is a noun. It's a mythical simian creature which, during a drunken slumber, sneaks into your bed, ruffles your hair, steals your money, and shits in your mouth.
Oh my God.
Bill, have you had any experience
with that?
No comment on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn it, a beer monkey visited
right.
me again.
Yeah.
And you said that with a straight face, too.
Okay. I did.
Next one.
Okay, the next one is Gideon Gumboot. It's a noun. Well, it says it's a used blob found pressed in a Bible in your hotel/motel bedside cabinet.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've done that.
You've done that. Like a stain, a blob.
You haven't just seen it. You've done it.
Lord.
Next one is rip one out. It's a verb. Mm-hmm. To fart slowly and painfully in the style of a cowboy having an arrow pulled out of his shoulder.
Oh my.
The visual
on that. You should save Erica's face.
Ouch. And the last one is concraptions. It's a noun. The agonizing stomach twinges experienced before giving birth to an arse baby. I'd best
baby.
Get to the casse, love. My contraptions are only a minute to pop, and I'm 3 centimeters
You know that? Oh, God. That reminds me of another obscure profanity. What's the expression about sporting a turtle head? 3 centimeters dilated.
Yes, I heard that.
Contraptions.
You're pebble dashing.
Let's not give away too much now. Thank you, Erica.
Oh, man.
What a bright spot.
My
in an
pleasure.
Otherwise dull podcast. All right.
Who cares about the mix?
Yeah. Oh, there's a mix. Hey, let's get to that. Let's give this thing a review. Let's put a number on it. ADK Bloody Mary Tonic. Lynn, what are your thoughts?
What's the scale again?
The
you should tell people this.
Yeah, I never can remember. No,
we
use.
Why nobody knows this?
Yeah.
It's the universal rating scale.
Yeah, it is. It's a scale of 1 to 77. Now, 77 would be an absolutely perfect mix, and a 1 would be about as bad as you can get. You know, something in the middle would be average. So, Lynn?
69.
Good solid number.
Well, I kind of have to do the ingredient list because I'm the ingredient Nazi. So, it's all cool, concentrated juices of all these different things. Does have some interesting ingredients such as non-fat dried milk and dried egg.
Oh, maybe that's the cheese thing you were talking about, that flavor
maybe.
That gives you that
yeah.
kind of an umami.
Right.
Something, yeah.
So that's something you just don't see in a bloody mix.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Give them points for being creative there. I want to know maybe what the dried milk is about, but.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a couple ingredients that I just wasn't fond of. Maltodextrin, calcium silicate, artificial colors, those just don't need to be in there. Being the ingredient Nazi, I don't like some of those things, but I think it's a very tasty mix. So I will give it a 65.
Nice. Excellent. Brad?
I'm smelling the mix out of the bottle because this is really it's out of the bottle. It's a full.
Yep.
This is a nice, bold. You know, it's got some flavor
bold,
to it,
yeah.
And I like that. I actually like it out of the bottle more than I like pairing it with vodka.
Oh, he's drinking it straight
like
up.
Straight
up. I think this would be a great mix. Non-alcoholic, straight up, and on their site at adkbloodymarytonic.com, there's a tab that you can see for pairings. I like the mix. I don't like the salt.
Mm-hmm. Me
too. I'm okay with the consistency of it. It's mm-hmm. the more that we've been sipping as we've
and
been
chaser,
chatting and having a good
helps.
Time here,
mm-hmm.
the salt bothers me. But it's not a big turnoff. But I really like the idea on the site, Bloody Mary butter. You could make this, you know,
what?
Mix this with a butter. Absolutely.
I missed that.
You know, you can use it as a marinade for steak or even shrimp.
Okay, well,
I'll give it a 68.
68?
I like it. It's mm-hmm. fine. The salt
I'm on
aside, I'm liking what I'm tasting.
Yep. Excellent. All right. Cool. Bill, do you have any thoughts?
I think it's fantastic. I would probably cook with this one, and I really want to dive into that extra hot.
I'm opening it for you, Bill.
Yeah.
I tell you, if I'm gonna be
popping the cherry on it.
Mm. Oh, you know what I like.
Bill, aren't you going to react to that?
I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, I see you did.
I was here. He did. Oh, no.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I like Little Spies, so I'm really looking forward to that extra. But I'd give it I'd give it a 69 as well.
You would.
Right when you got me a girl.
Yeah.
My man.
Okay. Some good ratings here. Good thoughts. So my first impression, a lot of flavor. It really hits you with a very, as I describe it, an umami flavor. And yeah, there's a fair amount of salt that comes with it. Sometimes I do like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the beer chaser, it can be kind of nice with that. It makes the stock of the beer chaser goes up a little bit with
it. Again, a good cheese
mix like
this.
Yep, would be good.
Keep forgetting to get the cheese on.
Yeah. So I am going to go 70 on this one.
Ooh.
So, but I'm anxious too. Let's get on and try the extra hot. What is it called? Extra hot?
Yes.
That's it? Yeah.
Yep.
Or no?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're going to start pouring the extra hot here. Let's give that a shot. Is this one maybe a little thicker? Or did I just put less vodka?
I think they're the same consistency.
Are they? No. Mm-hmm. Boy, I like this. I like this better.
This one has a, my initial reaction, something with shrimp and fish, seafood. This is great for mm-hmm. seafood. I could see a real great pairing.
Oh, yeah.
This is not this one better. I think it's mislabeled.
It's. Yeah. I think it's a little hotter. It's to me. I'm catching a little bit
more.
Back of the tongue.
Salty. I think it's different.
Bill, were you able to give this a little taste? Or?
I just took the first couple of sips right here. And I tell you, the extra hot kind of sneaks up on
mm-hmm.
from behind.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's sneaking
yeah,
up on
would.
Me now.
Yeah, you'd say
yeah.
that,
you would like sneaking up from behind.
A lot. Well, hell, let's get right to it. Let's put a number on it. You want to? Lynn, lay it on
actually,
me, funk soul
like
sister.
Better than the first one. It's... like Bill's right, it sneaks up on you.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a sip in at least 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm going to give this a 70 again. No, the okay.
No, that's you're up
yeah,
one. From...
I'm up one. Yep.
Okay. Erica?
I'm going to give it the same rating.
Which was?
65.
Okay. Brad?
I'm going to 71.
Yeah.
I really, these mixes,
sure,
I think.
Got to top me.
Well, you know.
That's okay.
That's what Bill
yum,
would
yum.
Say. Bill would have to top. But I really like it in terms of
mouth.
Being able to, not only on its own, like we're drinking, but I really encourage people to pair this with food, seafood, and as they're suggesting on the site, butter and
yeah.
various and beef. I'm liking it.
Yeah. Okay. Bill?
I'm gonna give it a 71 as well, and I tell you this is perfect for you pull up into the parking lot at a Packer game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You go to Packer game.
This is what I will pour more than you think.
Yeah. Well, some nice marks. Yeah. I like it too, and as I said, I like it more than the first one. I think this is a better overall balance. So I'm going to go 72 on this one. I think this is a pretty nice tasting mix. So
I'm not worried about the salt on this one.
Me neither.
First one,
yeah. If it's
the
same
salt.
Yeah, thank
well,
you. But
the
they don't. It doesn't
then.
Taste like it to me. But
some of the ingredients are taking care of that salt.
Yeah,
it
could be a balancer. Okay. All right. Well. Yeah, we have had a blast today, and I want to thank Linky for talking with us, and also Christine, and also for sending out this product for us to sample, and the prizes of the t-shirts. Don't forget to share this podcast on your favorite social media platform, and we'll get you entered to win one of these t-shirts. So find us on Facebook at My Big Fat Bloody Mary Podcast. We're on the web at mybigfatbloodymary.com. Hit us up on Twitter at My Big Fat Bloody Mary or on Instagram, Big Fat Bloody Mary, or on Snapchat, Big Papa.